Hello and welcome to another edition of the Door 14 Hockey Podcast. I'm your stand-in host, John, and tonight I'm joined by Dave.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Hey.
Obviously, we are missing our host extraordinaire, Marty. He's taking a couple of weeks off the podcast. I'll try my best to fill some very large hosting shoes. And if he does happen to be watching, it will probably be a complete disaster. So, Marty, you probably want to just sign off for a couple hours here and just let us trash the podcast for a couple hours until you come back and save it. Guys, it's been a couple of weeks that I've seen the first trophies awarded in domestic hockey across the UK. And we're here to pass our expert eyes over hockey across the world. First things first, we'll start the way that we always do. How are we getting on? Dave, how's things? You're back off the injury reserve list and you're still back with us.
Still sick as a dog, but yeah, trundling on. Have not watched any hockey in like 2 weeks because I've been in my sick bed, so.
Excellent. You'll be as much of an expert as we always are then when it comes to talking exactly. About ice hockey. I mean, you I don't think you need to watch the sport to be an expert in it at all.
No.
Like, we're totally set. Aaron, what about you? How's the last couple of weeks treated you?
Yeah, good. As you alluded to in the last podcast, it's been a little bit of hockey and a little bit of rugby, to be fair, over the last couple of weeks watching that. So that's
only
been
a man
fun.
Who dresses in, only a man who dresses in green would bring up the rugby.
Well, you're wearing green shoulder pads, just saying.
I'm wearing teal shoulder pads now. Careful, careful. Careful.
Listen, very good. All good here.
But for poor refereeing, that should have been a very, very different Six Nations. Like the Scotland try against France, it was a try. And like any other year, that's Scotland's trophy. I'm just saying. But at least it wasn't a repeat Grand Slam for Ireland. I feel terrible saying it, but at least we have England to thank for that. Right. I'm just going to choke to death here.
Yeah, will we just jump off here, buddy?
Mm-hmm. Just end the podcast on that note, John. Just thanked England, so.
I know.
Right enough. Sorry, guys. I'm dying here. Marty, if you are listening to this, I'm really, really sorry for how this has started.
Yeah.
Right. Guys, we've done the basic intro that it says that we have to do in the running order that Marty always puts together for us. So let's dive in to what we always do, and let's have a quick little look at the standings. Let's do something a little bit different. Let's throw them up on the screen. Look at this. Ooh. How sexy is this? Marty's going to think I'm trying to take over. Guys, top of the table is looking... Well, we've got a few X's there now. There's a few teams
anyone
have...
Anyone ever tell him that he's not doing anything yet? Like...
let's do it the way we always do. Let's rattle down before we start talking about positions. So, Sheffield Steelers, with 47 games played, have 79 points, and I believe are one regulation win from securing the title. The Cardiff Devils sit in second, 47 games with 69 points. Yo. The Belfast Giants sit in third, 47 games played with 60 points. The Manchester Storm, the surprise and the form team at the moment, 47 games with 53 points. Guildford Flames sit in fifth place, 48 games played, 52 points. The Coventry Blaze, 47 games played, 46 points. The Glasgow Clan, 47 games played for 45 points. And the Fife Flyers currently take that final playoff berth in 8th place with 48 games played and 45 points. Sitting at the bottom two right now and potentially missing out on playoffs in 9th, we have the Dundee Stars, 44 points from 47 games. And the Nottingham Panthers still sitting in 10th place with 40 points from 47 games. Guys, most teams now have only got 6 or 7 games left of the season. We're only 3 weeks left of the regular season. Things at the top end are looking pretty set, but let's start by having a look at the bottom. The bottom 5 teams, you could throw a blanket over them. There are only 6 points from 6th place to 10th place there. Dave, is the way that things are sitting right now with the Coventry Blaze sitting in 6th, the Glasgow Clan and the Fife Flyers sitting safe, is that how you think things are going to stay?
I can go. It really can go anyway. You can see any of those teams. Now I don't have their fixtures in front of me. I don't know who they've got left, but I could see any of those teams shimmying up or down that list. I think from Guildford onwards, we're probably seeing those all solidifying a place here or there. But I do think Dundee have been better this year than they have been in a very long time. And I would really hope to see them in the playoffs. But then I do think the same for Fife Flyers, Glasgow and Coventry. I think this year's been, apart from the runaway success that Sheffield's had this year, this league has been really fun to watch and really competitive to watch. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's only been this week that Dundee and Fife switched around, right? Like last time you guys talked, Dundee were in 8th position, right? So it's only been fairly recently that switched around.
Yeah, that's right. And the Stars, while they looked to have had some form, recently their last 5 is 4 losses and 1 win, whereas the Flyers are on the other side of that, 4 wins, 1 loss. So they are finding form at this late stage. They are fighting for their playoff lives. Aaron, looking to you then, you've mentioned the Dundee Stars there, but the Nottingham Panthers sitting in 10th, we all know what sort of season they've had. But a lot of people had them pegged to sort of come back and potentially be fighting for 8th, maybe even 7th place and make playoffs. But again, they, like Dundee in their last 5, are sitting with 4 losses, 1 win. However, that one win was a remarkable win against Sheffield. So taking points from who are effectively the champions elect. Are there enough games left now for the likes of Nottingham? They've lost their games in hand. Everyone's sitting on either 47 or 48 games played. So like I said earlier, everyone's either got 6 or 7 games left to play. Importantly, for perhaps, Dave, you were mentioning about fixtures. Fife and Dundee actually meet each other 3 times over the next few weeks. So that could be interesting. You're talking about 4-point swings there. But back to my original point, Aaron, Nottingham, do we expect anything here? Do we expect them to be able to make it? Or, without wanting to sound too harsh, is it maybe the best thing for Nottingham to potentially not make it into playoffs and just cap off the season?
Yeah, no one's going to blame them for the season that they've had. Let's face it. But I'm just looking at their fixtures, so that we've got Manchester, Nottingham against the Steelers again, against Cardiff. Yeah. Let's fit. Nothing's impossible, and the points that are there, it could happen, but it would. I think it might shake up some of the other boards a little bit if they did. Nothing's impossible. It would be nice to see them to hit back a little bit, but I'm not going to blame them if they finish off this season in 10th with the season that they've had.
Dave, one last question before we move on here. If, and actually I'll ask both of you this, there was a really interesting discussion on this week's 3-on-3 podcast, and they started getting really into the nitty-gritty of who they expect to make it into playoffs and actually into the Final Four, and they started even giving their predictions for the final, for the playoff final. But let's just throw out a hypothetical. Let's say that everything stays the way it is. So the top 8 is the way it stands. We know the way that playoffs work. First plays 8th, second plays 7th, and so on, and you make your way into the middle. So with that in mind, home advantage would be with Sheffield, Cardiff, Belfast and Manchester for the 2-leg quarterfinals. Who do you think makes the Final Four? Who makes it to Nottingham for the EIHL playoff weekend? Or do we discuss it matchup by matchup? So let's make this easier. So Sheffield Fife, who takes that?
I think Sheffield takes that.
Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay. Cardiff Glasgow.
Cool. I want to say Glasgow, but again, I think it's going to be Cardiff. Those top two teams have been very good all year. So,
Aaron, any different thought?
No. As Dave said, Sheffield and Cardiff have been on top trumps. That would be, the wheels would have to fall off rightly for those to switch around.
Yeah, I think you're right. Belfast Coventry. Interesting matchup.
Yeah, definitely a good game. But on any given Sunday, the Giants are going to win that game. You know, it's and they just need to take the home advantage. It's just the way it has to be. But it'll not be an easy match.
No. And potentially the most interesting matchup, I think, as far as the quarterfinals go. And this one potentially locked in. I think this could be the matchup that we see. Maybe home advantage. There's a little bit of jiggery-pokery to figure out who's going to have the home advantage. But Manchester-Guildford. Manchester really finding form. They've really been a bit of a sleeper and have moved their way up the league and getting themselves into that top half. Like, I haven't even been aware of them creeping up to this point. What I have been aware of is Guildford slipping down. Now, you put Manchester and Guildford together. Aaron, who do you think takes this?
So it's funny you mentioned that. It's one of the notes that I wanted to mention. I talked about how the Fife and Dundee have switched around. Guildford and Manchester, as you say, have switched in the last 2 weeks again. so Guildford would have to find that form of the game. But I think they can. So it's a tough one, but I'm going to go Guildford.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, I have to agree. After watching some of the highlights of the game we're going to talk about later, I do think Guildford have it in them to win that.
What do you think, John?
I'm going to go the other way on that one. Like, to me, this is the most interesting one. And it's, I hate to say it, but I actually think if playoffs started today, I think the top four would be the four to go through. And I know that's what you would expect, but I'm not looking specifically at Manchester's form as it's been over the last little while, but it's Guildford's form. They seem to be serial underachievers at this point. And I know on the podcast, we've talked a lot about Glasgow being that team who promises everything and delivers nothing. And so far, Guildford have also kind of got that flag above them, that flag flying above them. How many times now have they had trophies in one hand and let them slip? It's at least two Challenge Cups that they've fallen at the final hurdle. Now, notably, against remarkable opponents, both in Belfast and in Sheffield this season. But they've let them slip twice now. And the league last year, to let that go... Or was it two years ago? The league, sorry, was it Belfast Cardiff last season? I've forgotten already. All I remember is we won the treble. But they seem to be serial underachievers, and I feel like it would fit the mould for them to go out to Manchester and for Manchester to make it to playoff final weekend, which I would love to see. I always love playoffs when, and I mean this with the greatest of respect, when one of the underdog teams makes it to playoff final weekend. Like, my first playoffs, I think it was Nottingham, Sheffield, and Belfast, and Fife made it to the playoff final weekend as well, and it was incredible. I love the atmosphere that comes when the smaller teams, in inverted commas, make it to the playoff final weekend. It's fantastic. So, yeah, guys, without...
Just put up Banner's comment there. So he has... Coventry over Belfast with Johnny Curran with an OT winner.
No, Anthony. No.
And jerseys made in Belfast. I'm sorry.
Guys, let's switch our attention over to the NHL and let's have a look at how things stand currently. Over in the East, in the Atlantic Division, the Boston Bruins sit in top position, 70 games played, good for 97 points. The Florida Panthers sit in second, 68 games played, good for 94 points. And Marty's Toronto Maple Leafs sit with 68 games played with 87 points. In the Metropolitan, the New York Rangers, 69 games played, yo, for 94 points. The Carolina Hurricanes, also 69 games played, yo, for 92 points. And the Philadelphia Flyers, 69 games played, Yo for 78 points. The wild cards currently being held by the Tampa Bay Lightning on 68 games played for 80 points, and the Detroit Red Wings, 69 Yo games played, good for 76 points. If we then have a look at the West, the Winnipeg Jets, 68 games played, good for 93 points. The Colorado Avalanche sit on the same 93 points, but with 69 Yo games played. And the Dallas Stars with 70 games played, good for 93 points. So all sitting on the same points there. In the Pacific, the Vancouver Canucks, 69 Yo games played, good for 94 points. The Edmonton Oilers, 66 games played, good for 86 points. And the LA Kings sit in third, 69 Yo games played, good for 83 points. The wild cards then, the first wild card, Nashville Predators, 69 games played, Yo, good for 84 points. And the Vegas Golden Knights, 68 games played, good for 79 points. You don't realise how much talking Marty has to do in this section until you have to do it yourself. Guys, let's have a quick look at this. Let's go to the East first, because Aaron, Philadelphia Flyers.
Still hanging in.
We thought they were going to have a collapse here and go for the first overall pick, but sitting third place, Metropolitan. Now you're in shaky ground when it comes. You could very soon be down in the wild card spots, but you're hanging on there. If it started today, you'd be in postseason.
That's it. And you're right. Yeah, sometimes you see the results, you see the games, and you're like, great, we're getting there. And then sometimes we don't. Sometimes the results aren't there. So, yeah, shaky grounds. I'm just holding my breath. Come up to the final few.
You hoping for a big Cinderella story?
Hoping for that big Cinderella story. We'll make a movie out of it, so they will.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll obviously just mention the Leafs as well. Still sitting in there. I think they've been pretty consistent sitting in the qualifying slots. I don't actually know what the official term would be. They're not the wild card spots for getting through to playoffs. One of the top three. I think it's fully expected now at this point that they'll probably make postseason. It's just about the matchups and can they crack the curse that consistently haunts them. Dave, let's look over in the West. There is a distinct logo that's missing when we look at the wild card spots here at the minute. Minnesota sitting. I did my research. I know. I did my research before we came on here. So you're sitting 70 games played, good for 76 points. So you're not far away. And again, you were on here a few podcasts ago, and you were saying, "Look, we're going for the first overall pick. That's what we're here for." But
yeah,
you guys are making a run.
A lot of two shutouts, I think, back to back. One for Flowers, pushing his overall record up again. It's been phenomenal. If they don't sign him for another year, there's something seriously wrong. He's been absolute phenomenal backstop as part of that overall team. And they had a few interesting games. I think you mentioned it in the last podcast, the pull your goalie in the overtime.
Yep.
Give everybody a heart attack and win the game, you know what I mean?
I'm just going to bring up a comment here from Anthony. Vegas Golden Knights, 79 points with $705 million in players sitting on the long-term injury reserve. This was an interesting little story that came up around the trade deadline around protecting players and basically not making them available. Anthony, you're not wrong. They and a couple other teams seem to have form for this when it comes to the trade deadline and putting guys on the IR. It's an interesting move, but certainly come playoffs, you can almost guarantee that there'll be almost nobody sitting on those injury reserves. And let's say they are currently still sitting there in that wildcard spot. They're set for a run. And look, it's Vegas. They've got form. They've had form since they came into the league. Guys, any thoughts on that before we move on?
What about the Preds?
Preds, some interesting chat around the Preds, actually. Trade deadline, a couple of decent moves. Not really much happening with Barry Trotz, his first trade deadline as GM for the Preds. Not making massive moves. I think we're likely to see a lot.
Brian still hears Gary Trotz. It's just a child, so.
We got the Trotz. I think the big moves are going to come for the Preds after postseason, but a lot of interest in chat that the Preds could be a little sleeper team. We're only on a 3-game win streak. However, we're on a 13-game point streak. So we're doing something right. We're not pulling it together for the consistent wins, but we're taking a lot of games to overtime, and that's where we've been able to jump up into that wildcard spot. I would like to see us take that jump, but I think now, just based on games left to play, I think we're going to be reliant on that wild card spot. So it's twitchy sphincter time in Nashville, but we'll see how it goes.
So there's still opportunity to have a full door 14 playoffs.
Usually, what it comes down to is it's either going to be the Wild or the Preds.
The Flyers haven't been there for the last while either. This will be the first since 2018? It's been a while since we've been on. Couldn't be 2018, could it? I'll find that out. It's been a while since we've been there.
For all I know, it could be the 1970s.
Guys, we've gone through the standings in the Elite League and the NHL, and I think without any further ado, it's time, unless either of you have anything else to add here, for us to move into period one. Will we do it?
Yep, let's go.
Let's rock it.
This feels wrong for me to be doing this, but period one is our local coverage roundup. This is all the news that's happening around the UK in UK hockey. And when I say all the news, the stuff that we've either been hand-fed by others or the stuff that's just basically out there in the press. Guys, I am going to start by rattling through. Let's start with the biggest story. Let's start with, if you at least live in Yorkshire, you are one of the biggest fans of hockey, apparently, in Europe. And with good reason, because the Sheffield Steelers are the 2024 Challenge Cup champions. A 3-1 win over the Guildford Flames in Sheffield saw them lift the first silverware of the season. Guys, did we expect anything different?
No,
not really. That team's been dominant all year, and it's just another win for them. But it's one of those ones that's hard to get G'd up when it's the Steelers. So,
yeah.
But to be fair, it's not to play it down. Like, did we expect anything different? Maybe not, because of the form that Steelers have had this season. But it was written on the wall.
Yeah, if it had felt a little bit more competitive, I might have watched it as a neutral. But with it being,
you're not allowed to be a neutral fan. You're not allowed to be a neutral fan in this league.
Someone keeps telling me, yeah. So I did, for that reason.
Guys, I think it's probably no secret that none of us here will have watched this game, because, like, the Giants weren't in it, and everyone knows my opinion of the Challenge Cup. It's an absolute tin pot competition unless the banners on it happen to be teal.
I don't think you've ever mentioned your love or hate for the Challenge Cup.
Look, we
like, why is it only finished now as well? Like,
exactly. What? Let's not get into that tonight, okay? There's plenty of opportunity.
3 months too late.
We all know that come September, when the announcements are made, we've all cried, we all did the fan survey, we all said that the Challenge Cup needs a change of format. It'll be the same again next year, and it'll be the same again the year after. But do you know what? It gives us content, because if nothing else, I'm the one every season who spends most of a period just giving off about the Challenge Cup, and everyone knows it.
We're going to have to, we'll have to do another episode about what it should be again.
Yeah, we are. We do, and do you know what? One of the most interesting takes.
Record and, like, just play the previous time.
I'm starting to think, you know, like the Spangler Cup. I'm thinking Christmas Eve final.
Do you know what, though? If you're a traveling fan, I bet that's logistically impossible.
Logistically impossible, yep.
guys, let's very quickly talk about this game in a little bit more detail, because Sheffield Steelers went ahead very early in the game. 2 minutes into the game, you had Brian Diffley scoring a goal to take the Steelers ahead. Now, that's in Sheffield. I believe there was over 9,000. It was a sellout in Sheffield. Over 9,000 fans in that arena.
Over 9,000.
Spot the Dragon Ball fans. thank you, Toriyama. But going behind in Sheffield in a game like that, that early on, you would maybe think the Flames would just fold there and then. But they did manage to bring it back. Just shy of 14 minutes into the first period, they levelled things off. Bradley Lalonde with a tying goal. Unfortunately, then, the Steelers, with less than 20 seconds to go in the period, make it 2-1. And that really seems to have taken the bite and the fight out of the game. The Steelers secured the win, if you like, very early in the second period with a Mitchell Balmas goal. But that goal in the end of the first, sorry, seems to have just taken the sails out of the Flames. They don't seem to have really done anything through the rest of the game then. However, that being said, I think they outshot the Steelers 2-1, but was the quality just not there? Is it gripping the stick too tight? You're in a one-off final? And at the end of the day, I know we've kind of taken the piss a little bit here, but do we care?
It's hockey, of course. But that's what I was about to say. Like that section on that website, the tracking section, you on to that? That's great. So expected to win by 51% was actually the Guelph Flames. And when you say about the shots, so Steelers had 35 shots, Guelph had 56. As you said, nearly 2-1. Like, they didn't stop. They just, if you look at the actual chart itself, constant shots. So as you say, the quality wasn't there. The netminder was just on form.
It was always going to be an uphill struggle for Guildford, and I think they did come with the right mentality. But road game midweek, yes, it's a cup final, but you're coming up against a big crowd for a team that has been starved of a trophy for what, 4 years, and they have been hungry. And they were going to, like, in my opinion, they were going to take that silverware home, hell or high water. It was always going to be difficult for them. I think that if you replayed that, on another night, you might see a different result. But it was just going to be such an uphill struggle for them.
Do we think, all things being equal? And I realise that the three of us are sitting here wearing Belfast Giants jerseys. Do we think they're worth it? Like, at this point, is it? The Steelers are clearly a class outfit. They're clearly an incredible team this season. You probably can't argue that they're worthy winners of silverware this season. They've lifted one. They're probably good for it. Aaron?
Sorry, I was coughing there when you asked the question. What was the question?
The Steelers are probably good for this. Like, you couldn't.
Yeah.
You couldn't begrudge them winning
silverware
like this at this point in the season, knowing how they've been playing.
Not at all. Not at all. It's kind of as we said at the very start there. You know, with the run that they've had, it was, even though we're seeing the stats there, it was to be expected. But let's hope they don't have that run of form at playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And Dave, we mentioned it earlier. That's the first one. They're incredibly likely to lift the second one. It's all about their mentality going into postseason, isn't it? They have something to live up to in what the Giants achieved last season. Are they an outfit that are made up for it? Do you think the Grand Slam is a shout?
There's always a chance, but the playoffs being the short form that it is, it's anybody's game. And it is a very difficult trophy to win. In the sense of you go in, doesn't matter about your form. You just look at the Paul 80 team of the Giants that was like done by Christmas, and then they just fell over coming into playoffs. And yeah, the Steelers are going to be one of the teams going in as favourites. That Cardiff team and the Giants now, after they've bought everybody they could and fixed everything, they are, you know, they're in with a chance as well. And you always have, then you have the rest. Whoever makes it to that weekend has a shout at winning that trophy. It just, you just see how it pans out. And got it, are not going to be there, but yeah.
And Dave, I just want to expand on one thing before we move on to what you said, and I think it's important to bear in mind is the timing of this potential Steelers championship. What I mean by that is the league championship, because they're only potentially going to have 4 or 5 games of league action left, and essentially what will be dead rubber games for them.
Yeah.
Does that give time for their mentality to shift, or is it to their advantage that they get to spin the wheels, send out some third, fourth line guys for high minutes, rest their top lines, or is it the opposite, that that could change their mindset and makes them pray for a potential banana peel moment come playoffs?
It's a double-edged sword. You know, we have seen it ourselves, you know, your team switches off, your players switch off, they lose focus. Because the nature of the league being you need to be on for 53 games, whatever it is, 50-odd games throughout the season, you have to be switched on for every single one of those games. If you have a period of time where you can switch off, you can lose that playoff mentality that they build up on. The Giants have had that postseason success when they've won the league really late, last year, and take it straight into the playoffs. But then having, you know, the full length, the run in, and constantly being that you're trying to play at your best, sometimes you're fatigued and the legs have gone and you're not going to have the. And we've seen that as well with the Giants, you know, the seasons where, like, when Kiefer was playing, he could barely walk and he was out skating. And that was because they had to take the league right to the wire and then straight into a postseason, you know. So it's difficult. Now, other coaches handle that better. I think that if we were talking Cardiff, I could see them having more control over that with than Aaron Fox. I don't know whether Aaron Fox has it in him as a coach to talk his team down to sort of relax and then G them back up again. I think that he'll want them just to continue to keep the foot down.
It's a fine balance getting them to play at 40 or 75% or 80% rather than going down to 50% or something like that. Effort. And maybe, John, as you said, is it just that it's up to the coach and how many minutes he's putting them on? Is it putting more different lines on?
Well, that's the risk, isn't it? It's, do you, like I said, do you switch it up? Do you give the third and fourth line? I mean, look, this is the one thing. Sheffield have depth this season. They have scoring depth from absolutely everywhere. To say that they have a top line is really to say that they have four lines of goal scoring. Similarly, they've only got 7 regulation losses this season, so clearly they have, I believe they're working on 4 lines of D as well, so clearly they have depth in defence. So what I'm suggesting is, do you not want to screw with it? It's something that's worked over an entire season. They've managed to avoid the injury woe problem that has plagued teams like the Giants this season. Is it worth them changing anything at this point? I don't think it is. They know what's worked. Yes, they may have 5 games that are dead rubber, but if I'm Aaron Fox, because I am a spectacular hockey coach, and this is my professional opinion coming out right now, I would be saying go out as champions. Go and play as champions. Go and slaughter that team. Go and show them why you have 2 out of 3 trophies. Go and show why you are champions, and enjoy yourself doing it as well. The pressure for at least a week and a half is going to be off those guys. So to be able to win and enjoy it and not have the pressure, that could be huge.
The one thing they run the risk of is what happened with Belfast last year, whenever Belfast went to Dundee and just had a sleepy game.
Yep.
And they got slaughtered in the press. Like, even the Belltel and all, like, they just won the league. And the Belltel were writing about this rubbish game. You're going, you know, who cared? You know,
it would be interesting, because I'm just looking at the fixtures for them. So they are at home to Nottingham on the 23rd, which is going to be, what's that, Saturday? So that's their potential clinching game, and that would be clinching on home ice. The next night, then, they are, interestingly, in Guildford. Mm. So you talk about that, what the Giants did, went to Dundee after winning the league and just basically phoned in a game. Now, yes, it doesn't really matter. And yes, the Giants still came through and won the Grand Slam. But yeah, ideally, I think you want to continue winning. But there is, look, they've got a weekend of games. If they win the league, those guys are having a beer. So let's be totally honest. The high likelihood is that if they've won the league in Sheffield that night, the next night in Guildford, I reckon Guildford could probably put out the Guildford Phoenix and probably get a win in that game. But listen, it is what it is. And like we've said, it is up to that coaching team in Sheffield to try and figure out what the best approach is going to be for those guys. And I genuinely think that timing is with them on this. And I think they are, I don't like saying it, I think they're a severe potential for a Grand Slam this season. Guys, I want to move away from the Elite League for a moment because our good friend Anthony at Banners on the Wall was good enough to point out, when we put our socials out for this week's podcast, to point out that the Challenge Cup was not the only trophy which was decided in the last week or so. So I'm going to rattle off these ones, guys. I don't really have any in-depth analysis to give on these ones. Anthony, I'm really sorry. I'm going to pump your tires here. If people want some expert analysis on the NIHL stuff in particular, that
he means expert,
sort of
not as in like door 14 expert. He means a real expert.
way up here.
Yeah,
not lying.
Definitely go and give Anthony a listen on his streams on Banners on the Wall.
You could read Anthony's comments are actually probably more eventful than some of our podcasts, to be fair, but yeah.
Absolutely. And that's your job, is to look at the comments, because I'm running everything else today. So guys, I'm going to rattle through these ones fairly quickly. So the Leeds Knights have won the NIHL National League to go back-to-back. So that is a repeat performance from them. The Guildford Phoenix have won the Wilkinson League Championship as well. And I think there's a comment from Anthony saying that they've also done the double. The Aberdeen Lynx secured the SNL at the weekend just passed. And again, they have gone back-to-back as well with the SNL Championship. And the Billingham Stars secured the NIHL North 1 Championship as well. I apologise to any NIHL or SNL fans for any terminology or sort of league titles that I have just butchered there. I have been going on and on and on for years about the fact that I am going to go and learn more about these leagues. It hasn't happened yet. I swear it will. Even when we had Anthony here, I told him that I was going to go and pay much more particular attention to these competitions. It still hasn't happened. My excuse at the moment is I have a 21-month-old who keeps bringing bugs into the house, so I can barely keep track of what the Giants have been doing for the last season and a half, let alone what's happening in other leagues. Guys, I've got one other
story. Doesn't get any better, by the way.
Yeah, no, he's talking like it's going to change.
Welcome to Door 14 Parenting Corner.
Yeah.
Guys, there's one other story in Period 1, Oh, here we go. Here's Anthony. Leeds won the National, having not lost more than once in a row in the league all season. They've not lost back-to-back games all season in the league. Wow. I know that Leeds, as a franchise, they promised an awful lot when they came into that league, and they're showing it there. In fact, I have seen the odd little chat. We saw the interesting goings-on with Companies House, with the Elite League, and about potential for expansion there, and I know that Leeds were a franchise that were being thrown out there on social media as one to potentially move up, so definitely one to keep an eye on there. Guys, I'm going to move quickly on. There's one other story in Period 1 which has been provided by our illustrious leader, Marty, even though he wasn't going to be here. And this is the news that the EIHL has ranked 7th for the highest European attendances.
Awesome.
So, sorry, someone was going to say something there.
I just said awesome.
And then everyone talks.
Loud noises.
Average attendances in the Elite League this season have stood at just under 3,500, and that's just under 10% higher than last season. Guys, something's definitely going right here.
Sheffield's winning.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? The team, and look, it's worth. We can have a laugh at it if we want, but yeah, the team with a 9,000 plus seater arena is winning stuff. So, of course, that arena is going to get filled. The buzz around the town. We saw it with Belfast. As it looked like we were going to start winning trophy after trophy, the crowd started going up. The sellouts started racking up from sort of pre-Christmas right the way through to playoffs. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Sheffield. So, of course, that overall percentage, when you're talking about a swing from the likes of Manchester, which I believe is a capacity of just over 2,000, to an arena capacity of over 9,000, of course that's going to swing the percentages. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Interestingly, guys, average attendances in the Elite League have put it above the Ice Hockey League, the Slovak Extraliga, and the French Liga Magnus, by roughly 800 fans per game. So we are up there as far as product is concerned. People want to see this sport, whether it is just a night out or whether you're an out-and-out fan of the team or of the sport. I suppose the point or the question that I want to kind of put out to you guys then is, we come back to what we talked about in the last podcast. We talk about media exposure. We talk about TV. Now, I know that we obviously had the announcement of Viaplay coming back and broadcasting the Challenge Cup final. There's probably a 99.999% chance that we're going to see exactly the same with the playoff final weekend being broadcast there. But surely we're missing out on something here. We're still missing out on that exposure, and we're still in this position of the best kept secret. But we're competing still, bums on seats, with some of the biggest leagues in Europe. I don't even know what my question here is, guys. Like, I'll open the floor for comment.
Yeah, it's a year on year we see this stat, these stats come up, and the Giants, Sheffield, previously Nottingham. I don't know what it doesn't have it in the article. But they were now starting to, they're in the top 30, not even just of clubs, which is phenomenal. You know, so I think it's the Giants came the 28th this time round, which is a big jump. But the league, like, you see the Giants this year, where, you know, everybody knows the word around town, people know the Giants aren't going to win anything this year, or probably not going to win anything this year. There's a good chance they might win the playoffs. But the numbers, like, bums on seats for the games are still really high. You know, so they're still pulling the crowds in, which is phenomenal. But there really is a need for that ability that people can follow the sport outside of sitting on a seat in an arena. Because when you have, like, I've got loads of guys in work that are like casual fans, but because they can watch the rugby, for example, at home, they know more about Ulster than they do about the Giants, because the only way they can find it is if they go looking for it. Where with Ulster, they stick on BBC and bang. Actually, I don't know if it's still BBC, but whoever it was, you know, they can stick it on the TV and watch it. If they see it come as they're flicking through the channels, where they don't have that option with the iPhone.
Yeah, you're right. And like you're saying, Dave, that like, whether it's the BBC or whatever it is the issue, and I say this with the greatest respect to Viaplay, even though I know absolutely no one there, is the issue about it not being on, let's call it mainstream media? Like Viaplay, you have a Viaplay subscription if you like the particular sports that they're showing. Because I don't know if they're still showing NHL or not. I don't know if they waived that, because they walked away from broadcasting British hockey. As far as I know, they were never really ever showing European hockey. The NHL was one of the other big draws for them.
The Swedish league.
Or
SHL. SHL. I watched a lot of their games the year I had the Viaplay. It needs to be easily accessible. Now, Viaplay is a good example, but it needs to be on the free option. If it's going to be on a subscription, it has to be on an easy subscription. Sky Sports, or was it BT Sports, or whatever they are, one of the ones that come with a package rather than separate that you have to go looking for. It has to be easy to find.
It's been talked about before, Aaron, the potential other direction for the Elite League to go in is to do it themselves. We have seen over the last few years, and really COVID really pushed all the teams to invest in webcasts. Now, to varying degrees, some, and I realise that I don't think my connection is fantastic today and I look like I'm being broadcast on a potato, but there are some webcasts in the Elite League which very much look like they are broadcasts and uploaded via some sort of root vegetable. Is there the option then for the league to invest in some sort of game centre option where you pay a subscription and you get to watch games that way? Now, the NHL can geo-lock and can block off games, and that takes away the issue that the likes of Sheffield might have, or the likes of, we've seen the Scottish teams in particular have geo-blocked broadcast going, say, from Dundee being broadcast in Fife to draw the Fife fans over the Tay Bridge. Is that another option? Is that something that we would like to see, or do we want to see the mainstream it being free to view, like Dave says, or do we need a marriage of the two?
I think it's a marriage of the two. So just before we go on, Viaplay does still have the NHL. So for example, you can go on and watch the Boston New York Rangers game tonight, so you can. But anyway, I think it's a bit of both, to be fair. Like in the NHL, you do have the game center, but there are, as you alluded to, games that are locked out, games that you can't watch because of TV deals or whatever it might be. It would be nice to have that, because we have had TV deals before, but then they're not always going to show the Belfast Giants game that I want to watch. There's multiple games going on, so it in my head it would be very beneficial to have both, so that I could watch the games that I wanted to, and then when they're on the big TV, so that when Dave's mates are flicking through the TV channels, they can go to that if they need to.
Yeah. I've thrown out this comment because I think it proves the point here. And Anthony with Banners, I know he's been experimenting and he's been broadcasting some NHL stuff. I'll be totally honest, Anthony, I haven't had the chance to catch up with one of the broadcasts yet, but you're doing the Lord's work, mate, and continue on. Fantastic.
Is that like having a game or a game center for the NIHL?
What I believe Anthony's been doing is working with some NIHL teams, or one or two in particular, to broadcast to Twitter Spaces put games out that way, in much the same way that I think it's I think I got this through Anthony as well. I think the Australian League for a long time was putting out their product through YouTube. And we saw the CHL this season. The CHL won the the highlight product. And they've put it out on YouTube for free, some with, some without commentary, which, to be honest, I can take or leave because some of the commentary by the CHL is shocking. But putting that product out there and making it available for people, I cannot understand why we don't do it more here in Britain. So what Anthony is doing with a couple is absolutely fantastic, and may it continue and may it continue to grow. Guys, do either of you have anything else for period one before we move on?
Nothing else from period one.
No. Okay. In that case, we do have one quick little penalty box, so we'll get stepped into the penalty box. So, guys, we have one penalty box, which I'm going to throw up here now, and hopefully this doesn't kill my Wi-Fi. This was on the 15th of March. The Dundee Stars defenseman Chris McKay made an illegal hit on Blaze forward Ian McNulty. He was penalised with a major penalty for boarding.
Nobody should be pausing their screen here. This is actually what the Dundee podcast looks like, or Dundee podcast looks like.
I'm going to defend Dundee on this one because they're one of the only ones who put out 4K highlights, but I will admit 4K highlights, which basically just take out the period breaks, they're not highlights, guys, it's a full game recap. So guys, this one here, McKay was given a one game suspension and a fine. This was boarding. He has, it just says history, so I don't know if it means that he has no history or he has history. He's been previously fined and suspended by the EHL in 23-24, so he was given one game. How does this work on the totting up, guys? And this is the question. I'm not really particularly... You can comment on the hit itself if you want. But on this one, guys, the totting up, he's been fined and suspended before, but we've just got one game here. Dave, do you want to comment on the hit itself?
Yeah, there's been so many questionable boarding calls all over the show, and this is just another one that seems to have crept in. And yeah, I do agree, it's a boarding, should be, you know, it warranted additional review. The thing that gets me is you have alluded to when you were asking the question, if he's done it before, why is it one game? Like, at some stage you have to go, right, you've been warned, you've been fined, you've had a ban, right, you're going to have three or something, you know, not because of, not necessarily to do with how bad that particular one is, but because you have history, because you've done it before, you know, because it basically means you're going to do it again. And you need to sort of lay down a marker.
Aaron, let's look at the hit in particular itself, because one thing I note from the notes from DOPS is they talk about it being a dangerous check into the boards, and the fact that McKay leaves his feet, which I hadn't actually noticed until I was watching it just carefully. Yeah. So when you watch the hit go in, he actually comes off his feet. Both skates leave the ground, and we're still in this position of one game. So do we really think that they've got this right? Or are we just at this stage now where... it doesn't really matter, nobody really cares what DOPS say, and we just expect inconsistency.
That's every time we talk about penalties and we talk about games, I always feel like it's just like, you know, right, what's the flavor today? How many points or how many games are we going to give? There's no call. I joke about this quite often with you and say I'm going to set up my own AI to work this out. I even asked ChatGPT today about this particular, not about penalties and about Borden and what's the average and all that kind of stuff, and it couldn't even answer. So if AI can't answer, I think we're stuffed.
You know what, when AI is threatening to launch nukes but it can't figure out what's going on in EIHL DOPS, I think that tells you quite a lot about EIHL DOPS. Guys, that's all we have for DOPS. So unless anyone has any further comment, we will shift it on then to period two.
Hello, and welcome to period two, where we'll talk about ice hockey from the rest of the world. And we have a couple of topics, not as much as we did for period one, but we will hammer through them rightly. Aaron, I'll let you start with your retirement news.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so this week, I believe it was on Monday, Wayne Simmonds announced his retirement, which is ending his 15-year career in the NHL. It also included a All-Star Game MVP honors. What a player. To be honest with you, I could go through quite a number of stats at the moment, but I'm going to put it out to the group first and ask, what did you... I believe, Dave, he's... You're the only team in this group that he did not play for.
Yeah.
So I'll go to you first. What did you have any feelings behind it? Did you just go, huh?
Yeah, well, I whenever you said 15, I was going to say, I was like, geez, it felt like longer. But then when you think how long ago 15 years is.
15 years is, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he's been one of those guys that, you know, has been brought the teams when that team is having a bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
And he's always been that stabilizing factor. You know, he's brought in somewhere and they've, you know, used him and used his sort of leadership to, you know, stabilize something that's gone wrong. And he's done that everywhere, and it's, you know, it's phenomenal. And it's great. And it's sad to see someone obviously retiring, but then he's obviously retiring on a good note. You know, it's not like he's leaving for anything adversely impacted. So, yeah, brilliant.
Cool. John, he played for the Preds for a bit.
He did play for the Preds. It was only, if I'm right, it was single figures. I think it was 8 games. I think he was brought in around the trade deadline, and then he was traded away during the off-season. But I completely agree with Dave. He was brought in with purpose to the Preds. When he was brought in, he was brought in because we were shaky at the back. We were looking for something of veteran leadership in defence, and that's exactly what I say. That he's right wing, but I think he was almost playing two-way hockey for us. But yeah, the biggest thing I'm glad to see is that he's getting a one-day contract with the Flyers.
Yeah, you brought. I was going to continue on talking about how he had gone on to play for the Leafs for 18 games. But with his retirement, he talks about how he was traded to the Flyers back in 2011. And over his 8 seasons with the Flyers, he scored, 203 goals. Can you tell that I've got notes in front of me?
Yeah.
But what I really like is that there's a comment here, and it's hard, and this is from Simmonds himself. It's hard to describe my emotions on a day like this, but it's one of my very first thoughts as I look back at my life in Philadelphia and playing with the Flyers. And this is alluding to his final game will be as a Flyer. Taken to the ice wearing the Flyer sweater is a special feeling and one that I'm truly proud of. The history of the franchise and as a standard of a Flyer is one that's unique and I hold to the highest regard. So it's great that he's been able to retire as a Flyer.
And I believe it's a few weeks still until the official ceremony. So while he won't play in the game, he will be honoured and retire as a Flyer on the 13th of April.
Well, yeah, certainly. I'm not going to go through all the stats because there's quite a lot of them, but it was great. Like, he was a big player through all the time that I've been a Flyers fan. So I wish him all the best.
Happy days. Yeah, I have to agree. Can't agree more. All right, and then we'll move on to a little bit closer to home, and we'll look at the CHL, which John has kindly put in for us.
Yep, so CHL this week have finally kind of put rumours to bed about the Challenger Leagues, who will be accepted into the 2024-25 CHL season. The Champions of the following national leagues will be invited to compete in Europe's elite, as they put it, club ice hockey competition. Denmark, France, Norway, Poland, and the United Kingdom, who have a lovely asterisk in the presser after the United Kingdom. It's not for any nefarious reasons. I did kind of read through the news story when they put it out and was like, oh, why have they put an asterisk next to us? And it's because the traditional champions in the UK are crowned in the regular season, not in the postseason, as opposed to every other European league. So the other four nations, Denmark, France, Norway, and Poland, their champions will be decided in postseason, in playoffs. Right. The UK, it's the regular season who get the opportunity to move on to the CHL. And then obviously the playoff champions get the opportunity of the challenge, or the Continental Cup, sorry, not of the Challenge Cup. Everyone gets a chance at the Challenge Cup. Guys, this was more interesting because there'd been, maybe not rumours, but there'd been a lot of talk that the restructure of the CHL was almost being done in a way to potentially cut us out and cut the Elite League out. And that really wasn't helped by, now it's been particularly helped by the fact that Belfast and Cardiff have really represented the Elite League incredibly well over the last few seasons. But our, potentially our reputation in Europe isn't the best following the multiple teams turning down the Conti Cup at the end of last season before it finally fell on someone's lap. We're in an interesting position here that the high likelihood is that the champions-elect, the Sheffield Steelers, are one of the teams who turned down the Conti Cup because they wanted to concentrate on domestics, which clearly it's worked. But does that open them up to a little bit of ridicule in the European community should they choose to take up their CHL spot? Aaron?
I guess so. But there's, as you kind of alluded to, it, I guess it's like chess, right? You've got to figure out where you want to put. Sorry, I'm laughing at Anthony's comment, asterisk, because we're special. They decided to make a play that they were not going to play those games to focus on the domestic. And as you say, it's rightly said, it's worked. So it's not like they decided not to play, it fell in their face, and well, they wouldn't even have a chance to go play in the CHL if it didn't. But the trade-off worked for them. So they can laugh at them, or they can slag them off, but the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, I do think that if the team wins the league and they don't take it, it's a bit of a, I doubt we would get it again. So if St. Steelers get offered the CHL and they turn it down, we would no longer be offered a position in that league, which is a bit of a shame, because CHL, year on year, the teams that enter it from the Elite League are getting better. The league is getting better with it. I would hope to continue to see that caliber of hockey somewhere in the league.
If they turn it down, am I wrong in saying it does not go to the next team?
Only the Continental Cup, because we're due to the way the rankings are done, we're always qualified for the Continental Cup. Champions League, we're invited.
It's never happened, so do you know what? It would be interesting to see what that result would be. So let's say, for argument's sake, the Steelers decide we're not gonna take the spot in the CHL. It would be interesting to see what the CHL organization's stance on that would be.
Do you see that happening, though? Do you see them actually turning around and going, "Nah, we're not gonna go"?
I think they will take it. I severely doubt that they would turn it down.
Well, Mark's making a really good point here. I know that everyone who's watching this can see this up on the screen just now, but just for anyone listening to the audio, Mark Armour, our most loyalist fan, is saying you can give them a bit of a pass last year because they didn't earn the spot in Europe, and that's 100% correct. They didn't. The Giants earned it, but we were heading off to the CHL. But
they should have went to Guildford, though.
Well, they didn't take it either.
Yeah, so that's where it fumbled down. League, so.
Yeah, but if they win the league, they shouldn't be allowed to turn it down. And Mark, I 100% agree with you on that one.
Yeah,
the league should ensure that it's part of the agreement to even compete in this league. The fact that we're invited as a challenger to take part in the CHL, it should be mandated that the champion takes that position. Now, it may well be. We're a bunch of guys who are podcasting from a shed, a garage, and a spare bedroom. We're not involved in the boardroom conversations in the EIHL. Yet, exactly. I love the enthusiasm there.
Always time.
We'll wait and see. But do you know what? I'm almost here for the drama. If the Steelers turned it down, if they just said, you know what, lads, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to go and try and win everything domestically again next season. We're going to have a go at that. But enjoy your little European tournament. Let us know how it goes. And I would be here for the drama online. I'd be one of the loudest ones on social media as well about it, calling them every name under the sun. I just want to bring in Anthony as well. Anthony makes a good point. One that I'll be honest, I wasn't aware of. And to be honest, 90% of what Anthony puts in the chat, I'm not aware of. The CHL is a IIHF sanctioned but not run. Conti Cup is IIHF run. So Sheffield wouldn't and won't turn down the CHL. And he says that as someone who feels big nations don't take the CHL seriously. And yeah, the point about the CHL not being taken seriously, you can see that with the crowds at the early stages of the competition, that even the fans don't really seem to take it that seriously at that point. Sorry, Dave, just I feel like I've kind of taken over there.
Just until somebody beats them, and then they have to fold a franchise, like Nottingham did with the Freezers.
Was that not Glasgow?
No, Nottingham.
Was it Nottingham?
So we have one last piece that that our glorious leader put into the podcast. I've only read some of it, but I thought it would be a really good talking point because it's expansion, it's NHL, and it's Atlanta. So Atlanta has requested their an expansion to the NHL for the third time. Obviously that will go for due consideration and depends on how much Gary Bettman gets paid, but there may be a possibility of a third franchise making its way through Atlanta. What do you guys think? John, I know that you know that there's another particular region of the northern North America that deserves a franchise, so I'll let you have a whinge.
Right, first things first. I wouldn't be heartbroken to see a team back in Atlanta because, see, to be honest, if they resurrected the Thrashers, I would love it because that logo, those jerseys are sweet. I absolutely love the whole design that goes around the Thrashers. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And obviously, on two podcasts ago, we had a former Atlanta Thrasher in Jordan Smotherman, who was drafted by the Thrashers. So, of course, I'd love to see it. That being said...
Just so they retire 14, yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, you know what? Smo should drop the opening puck. Like, he's an absolute legend. Yeah. In fact, he should be the coach.
Coach and GM
of the new Atlanta Thrashers. There you go. They've got a guy set up to do it.
The Atlanta Thrashers have got door 14 approval. Move on.
That's it. We're just announcing it here today. We're now the official podcast of the brand new Atlanta Thrashers organization. We look forward to working with them very closely. That being said, Dave, your point about what my thoughts would be on this, yeah, the next expansion slot has to go to Canada. It has to. Quebec, honestly, at some point, someone in Quebec or the people of Quebec are just going to dig up that entire city and move it somewhere south of the border and hope that someone doesn't notice and just gives them an NHL franchise. Quebec is crying out for hockey again. I would love to see the return of the Nordiques. Again, branding, the hockey history, everything that comes with it. Hockey Quebec needs to come back. NHL hockey in Quebec needs to come back. And to be honest, if it's not Quebec, it just needs to be Canada. I just want to see another Canadian franchise. What I don't want to see is this horrendous idea of a second franchise in Toronto. That market doesn't need it. Unless they're going to sell the tickets for like $20 a pop, because I've said it before, even if I was given a free flight and free hotel to go to Toronto, I'm not paying their ticket prices. Get stuffed. Like, it's an absolute joke how much it costs to get top tier, limited view seats in Toronto. It's just absolutely brutal. And that's the only reason that I would see a second franchise there. But it has to be Canada.
Yeah,
Aaron, so have they put in the?
I'm guessing they've put in a formal request as well, right? Like this, here's the Atlantic Group have put in a formal request.
Well, no, this is the paperwork. This is how it starts. This is how it starts for started for Vegas. This is how it started for Seattle. This is the formal first letter that you send when the NHL has.
But what I'm asking is, has Quebec done that yet?
I don't know that they have. I know that when the Vegas expansion was put out there, Quebec was one of the other ones who threw their hat in the ring at that point.
Right, okay.
But listen, I'm not suggesting for a second that it's that easy, because even with Atlanta, it's tied to the development of a new arena. It's tied to the city putting money in, and the city have said, look, we'll put public money in whenever you're told that you're getting an NHL franchise. So a lot of things have to get in a row, and I'm probably being flippant about the way that I talk about it. There's a lot of stuff that goes in the background, but this is just that first stage. And the big ones that we've seen talked about over the last little while, the Vegases, the Seattles, they've all happened. Like those two franchises, and this is the weirdest thing, those two franchises didn't exist when we started this podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're now in the NHL. So I've no doubt that we're probably going to see, 33 teams fairly soon, I would imagine. I'd like them to try and stick it to even numbers. So every time I see an odd number expansion happen, I just sit there and go, please let the even number be Quebec, because it has to happen. It has to.
That is awesome. And that's the way to round it up. We think there's been... every year there's another team that's mentioned. I think it was Kansas City was a big one that was mentioned for a while. Salt Lake City, another one. So, yeah, we'll see. You could end up with 90 teams if it keeps going the way they're going.
Here, we've still got the London franchise to potentially come. Never mind anything else.
And then Anthony's given us his... And I'd have to agree with the Hamilton piece, because it's a massive, massive hockey market as well. So that is that, unless any of you guys have anything else to add to period two.
There's just one to keep an eye out for the next wee while. I was reading a post earlier about Ovechkin is only 50 goals away from Gretzky's record. Maybe not a huge talking point for now, but definitely one for the future to keep an eye on. 50 goals.
I've seen
two seasons left.
I've seen a fantastic article that was talking about that, but it was showing the netminders, the difference in the netminders that they were playing against, and how the netminders have been so much more athletic in Ovechkin's era than they would have been in Gretzky's. So it was really good. I'll see if I can find it and throw it up on the website. So
we've talked about this before, and I think the achievement from Ovi, if he does it, is probably marginally greater than Gretzky's, just because of the era that he's playing in.
That was a quick comment. That was just a wee quick comment for something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Here's one, just because we've talked about that. Would he take on the title? Would he be the great one?
No, it would be the GR81.
Yeah, great, very good, very good.
Because he is 88, isn't he?
I have no idea.
Is he not the great eight? Is he eight or eight? I don't know. I've probably just made that up. Somebody in the comments will say something about that and let me know. Guys, without that, We're just going to ignore what I said there, and we're going to move it on to period
three.
Well, welcome everybody to period three of hockey, which is are normally called general knocky news. There you go. Veskin wears it. There we go.
Thanks guys. And I saw Mark and Anthony both filling that in for me there. Thanks, guys.
You're spot on. As I said, we are in our general knocky news. When are we going to rename this? Like, this is seriously, it's general knocky news. And what are we going to talk about today? Jerseys!
Hey!
So, welcome to period three, our jersey period.
Jersey corner.
John has created some slides for us as his dial-up internet uploads them to the screen here. We will see what.
Have you guys not got those?
I can see it.
I see. Slagging my internet. It's the IT. It's the IT experts.
It's not on my screen. Not on my screen, and it's not on Twitter.
Guys, drop us something in the comments if you can see the jerseys on screen. Anyway, if you can't see it, Aaron, do you want me to carry on?
Please tee it up, buddy. Tee it up.
Right. So, guys, first one. We're past the post on this one. These jerseys have already been worn. But last weekend passed, it was Paddy's Day, and the Belfast Giants brought out a special jersey. One thing was pointed out, that there's potentially a slight design issue with these jerseys. Guys, how many leaves does a Shamrock have?
It's four, right? I'm taking the piss.
One too few. Yeah, these are clovers, not shamrocks. So, interesting design choice there. I did kind of vent a little bit online about this one. Nobody bit, but anyway, it is what it is.
Like
guys,
it.
What's your thoughts on them? Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I do like whenever they do the single color sponsors, logos, blah blah blah, because it does take away the sponsors a little, it sort of fades, and I like the general design. Why not?
Mark here with the smart ass comments as always. Clover Shamrock, as long as it tastes like butter, then it's fine. Aaron, what's your thoughts on this one? I'm assuming you can now see it.
I can now see it, and so can Mark, and so can Anthony, which is good news. yeah, I think it's quite nice. Apart from, as we say, the small design issue with it, it's clean. It's got, and I like that it's not like overkill with the Shamrock.
Yeah, and I like that it didn't go green.
Yep, it's good.
That with the Giants colors, it's good.
I would buy it.
Very nice. You'd
buy that for a dollar,
guys. We will move on then to our next jersey. And this is a franchise that continues to absolutely knock it out of the park. So we are heading into Retro Week or Retro Weekend or whatever title the Elite League have given it. This is the Fife Flyers offering. Now, we went through a few of the retro jerseys in the last podcast. We had a look at Cardiff, Guildford and Dundee, who had already released theirs, and Sheffield released theirs a long way back. And I don't actually think we ever talked about them, but we've talked enough about Sheffield for one podcast, so I haven't included them here. But the Fife Flyers, the biggest thing about this for me is they've gone back to the simple, old-school logo.
Proper retro.
It looks like it is proper retro. It looks like a hockey sweater.
Yeah.
I would want that as a jumper. Like just get it as a jumper and then just wear it every day.
Marty knows too well. There he is. Jerseys again. Yep.
Yeah, I stand with what I said previously about Fife and the jersey designs this year. God tier retro jersey. Like yeah, the team, the couple of people that I know who are doing a lot of this work in Fife have absolutely knocked out of the park. Now, my favourite part about this, guys, you don't get this because this is obviously just the design mock-up. They're wearing these this weekend, and I'm, fingers crossed, they're wearing them against the Giants, and I'm hoping to get to this game. See those logos? They're not sublimated. They are stitched on logos.
No.
Fully stitched on logos, fully stitched names and numbers as well. Going proper, proper old school with these jerseys. And I
makes
am
me love
here
it
for
more.
It. It does.
Yeah.
Mark, I felt bad for not throwing your comment up there. It absolutely is one of the best Elite League jerseys in years. Guys, any other comments on those jerseys?
Fantastic.
Okay. We move on then. Sticking retro, we go to a team who consistently underachieve on pretty much everything they do, and this is the Clans offering. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's just boring as hell, isn't it?
Where's the wee gremlins, or whatever the heck they used to be?
Do you remember those?
That's just
boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like they could not be bothered.
See where they're going when it's just the word written on it, like Clan. And remember there was the Giants one that was just Giants.
Yeah, but it was awful too.
Yeah, it was garbage.
Oh, I didn't say it was good. I'm just saying I can see where you can see the style that they're going for, but they're missing the mark by a mile.
Dave, is there any saving grace to this jersey?
No. Uninspired. The only one for me is our furious leader just said. Furious leader. I don't know.
The only saving grace for me is that I don't have to look at it live.
True.
Now, different end of the spectrum, guys. Nottingham Panthers are rocking a proper old school jersey. Yeah. Now, the design, very, very old school, harkens back to the old branding of the Panthers, the old logo. Yes. The only thing for me is, and the only reason it's not as good as what the Flyers did, is because it's a fully sublimated jersey.
Yeah, but like the Flyers jersey, like if you were to put that in the era, right, what would that be?
70s?
No, it's older than that. It's like back to the almost the originals. You're talking almost, they're going like 80, 90 years back with that sweater. And I'm going to call it a sweater because that's what it is. It's a hockey sweater. The other reason that I like it better than what the Panthers have done, and I get, we're talking about eras, is the Flyers have made a particular choice, and I hope they follow through with the real thing. And it's the fact that they don't have any of their sponsors. It's a clean sweater. This one from the Panthers is obviously they've got out of necessity they're putting their sponsors on. It is what it is.
I think it's class.
But again, that's why I'm bringing up the ears, and I'm laughing at Mark's comment as well, because I was like sitting there staring at the screen going, what's going on with that? It's what's that, 90s?
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, 90s. Do you know the only thing?
It's so 90s that it's actually okay. Like I far prefer. I far prefer the Flyers jersey.
It's like, you know, the Canucks red and orange and black jersey. Weird bit. Thing sort of that. I like it.
Do you know what it's giving me, though? It's giving me very, very heavy Thundercats vibes. If you don't know what Thundercats is, you're not old enough to be listening to our podcast.
I don't hate it. I'm going to, the fact that it's definitely a 90s jersey, I think it's okay. I'm not
throw back to the last time they won something.
Ouch.
I mean, that's, yeah, harsh, man, harsh. Guys, at this point, this is the best image we've got of this one. This is the Manchester Storm's retro throwback jersey. Going back to this weird, like, I've never understood this logo, if I'm totally, totally fair. Like, I don't understand. Is this, like, a goalie mask? Is it someone with broken teeth because they play hockey? Like, the Clan's old logo was kind of like this, but wasn't it two of them? Like, you called them the gremlins, Dave.
Yeah.
And they had, like, jaggy, like, sharp, jaggy teeth.
Yeah.
This one, I don't really get. I understand that in the middle there, is that supposed to be, like, M for
M
Manchester
and
A for Altrincham?
Must be, I don't
know.
Is that what's going on there? I really, really wish that we had, like, a Storm fan, like, in the chat somewhere to tell us this, but I've never understood this logo, like, at all, and I also don't like it.
It's a bit off-putting.
I get the lightning bolts. I understand the lightning bolts of it, but yeah, it must be a spin on, like, Casey Jones wearing a hockey mask.
Don't get me wrong either. That the whole point of a throwback, a retro jersey, is to look back at where design and franchises have come from. And you can see from the images in the background of this that they are clearly drawing from an old school jersey from back when the Storm were champions. And that's totally fine.
Jeez, what?
I was like, why is that? I'm pretty sure I have that jersey.
Why do you have that jersey?
So when we first started going to the games, my sister went with us as well, remember? And she went through this phase of, like, buying random jerseys. And I got handed this at Christmas time.
That is one of the randomest things that's ever happened on our podcast.
Isn't it?
There you go.
Like, I was sitting there staring at it going, I know this jersey. There you go.
That is the closest thing to expert analysis that we've ever had, and I love how you just kind of threw it across the room there. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I get to do guys, it for the Giants one,
dude. Well, hold that thought. Coventry Blaze. This is their retro throwback jersey. I'll be totally honest, this looks like their jersey from this season with a different logo.
Did we not talk about this jersey at some point?
I always like the powder blue.
We talked about at the start of the season. We always go through the jerseys when they're released, and this is my point exactly: is that this looks just like their current season jersey with the weird sort of almost looking hand drawn Scorch, their mascot, on the chest, which I get is an old school. I think it's an old school logo of theirs, isn't it? This one.
Yeah.
This isn't one that's been made just for this.
No, that's an old one. Yeah.
So, again, it's quite a busy jersey. It looks like a modern jersey with an old logo. Mm. And I think that's my problem with it, is because of the block colours, the sponsors really taken away from it. Fife have ruined me, basically, is what I'm saying, on these retro throwback jerseys, because theirs is absolutely so good. Any other comments on the Blaze before I move on?
All right.
Because we've got one more retro throwback jersey, which I'm pretty sure we might have influenced the release of, because I did throw something up on social media asking the question, would the Giants reveal their retro throwback jersey before we recorded, or would they wait until 20 minutes after we finished? So, everyone... You're welcome. Here it is.
100% John's move there.
Look, we know where the pressure points are, and we got this released.
I love it,
and it's because they're
nostalgia, right?
They're wearing this at home, and they are wearing white at home and throwing it back to the idea that the first 10 years, including this one, first 10 years of the franchise, they wore white for home games. Paddy, I know it's all my fault. Everyone knows it's my fault.
Do you know what's really embarrassing? So we were talking about this before we started recording this, and for about 5 minutes, and maybe you can help me with this, for about 5 minutes before this podcast, I was running around this room trying to find my original jersey. Did not find
it's behind
it
you.
It's fine. I forgot that I put it in a frame and hung it up.
Well, that was I was the same. Knowing that we were talking about the retro throwbacks, I went and picked up the white ties jersey, which I spent a long time trying to get, including a really fun fight with a woman on eBay who sent me a large XL white ties jersey. I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before, but sent it and it was tiny. Like, I couldn't even fit into it. And she went back and said, well, it fits my husband. Her husband must have been about 9 years old.
She was older than me.
Nay.
Hey.
Getting in there before one of you said.
Yeah.
Guys, let's get back to the matter at hand. We're looking at this jersey. Our illustrious leader, Marty, he says, finally, they did it right. and you're getting some money fired over you, Dave, for the shirt off the back this weekend. I'm going to go through a couple of comments here. Paddy throwing it out. He wishes that it had the old Gem or MG sponsorship on the shoulders.
Dave, you have those, right? You definitely have the MG one somewhere.
I have an MG one somewhere as well.
There it is. It's the MG one. I can't find my Gem one, actually, to be fair. I don't know where the heck it's gone to.
And Mark, I think it's this.
So, I don't have the white one. I never bought the white one, but not far.
That's not far. And that's what I was going to get to. So, Mark, sorry, saying he loves the Giants ones. It's just a pity they're not selling them. Mark, you're just going to have to throw all that money and shirt off the back. Design-wise, this is the first one I like. And I like it because they're doing two things in contrast to what I didn't like about the Coventry one. Is I feel like this is a marriage of like two different eras. Obviously, we've got the old school logo, which is fantastic. We talked about this after last year's retro throwback. We said, look, we've got this old school logo. Why don't we use it? Mm-hmm. And the fact that this is almost like this, it's like the start of the sublimated jerseys. And I quite like that. I like that we're doing this sort of two era type thing. They could have gone for a full design like these ones, like the MG or the one that you're wearing, Aaron. They could have gone that kind of way with it. But they've kind of married the two elements. They've gone for that simple sort of design that we saw in the very early stages. And they've also gone with what we saw with the start of the sublimated jerseys. I like it. It's still not my favourite. I'm really sorry. Like, Fife is just on a completely different level.
That was
it's just completely lights out.
This will be printed, right? It's not going to be.
I would guess that'll be printed. Yeah, it'll be screen printed. Are we doing any shopping there?
I was checking my other bag of jerseys. Sorry, this isn't all my jerseys, by the way. There's another couple of bags out there.
Dave, you haven't really had the chance to give an opinion because you've been rooting through all your jerseys. What's your thoughts on this one?
I love it. It reminds me of as you said, it's a melding of the old and new. It's a massive, throwback. I love the fact that they're using Finn. He deserves to have a bit of in the spotlight again. And I think it's a good show to get him back on there. So.
Yep. Patrick Smith from A View from the Bridge saying he wanted the retro jersey to be the red BT Ice Cup style, but he admits that he's a boring old fart. I'm the one in the room who doesn't get to talk about that because I am a fully Elite League baby. My whole time with the Giants has been Elite League, so I don't get an opinion on that, but I will say that the early jerseys are definitely my favourites. Guys, any final comments on this one? Dave, are you going to the game on Saturday? Are you going to be dropping some pound coins on this?
Unfortunately not. I'm in that there London.
You are in that
right,
there London?
Mark, get ready for the messages from Marty wanting to drop you money for a shirt off the back then. Guys, there's one more jersey. It's not in the retro throwbacks, but the Elite League have announced another jersey release. And this one, this time, is for the Elite League playoffs. So for playoff final weekend, Rhino obviously will be clearly will be doing jerseys for the final four teams, And, well, actually, I think they always just prepare for all 10, don't they, and then just raffle them off at the end of the playoffs. But, guys, you'll be able to buy this at playoffs. My one and only question on this, would you buy one?
Nope.
No. I can't remember one of these jerseys that I do like, though. Has there ever been a playoff jersey that you like the look of?
No. Who's buying these? Yeah. That was my bigger question. Oh, interesting question, actually, just in the chat there from Mark. Is this a hint of what the team ones will look like? Do you know what, Mark? That hadn't even occurred. So, maybe let's take a little bit of a dive into the design of it then. We've obviously got... This is the white, so you would assume that this would be the away colourway that we would see for the teams if they stick with a similar design. Big central team logo. I quite like that idea. They only bring
one sponsor as well. They only bring their title sponsor, so
bring your title sponsor to it. So yeah, I'm big into that. I'm not so sure I like the design work at the bottom. I don't even know, like, that's playing with my mind here. I don't know if they're triangles or hexagons. They seem to be triangles that turn into hexagons. But also there's like a graying of the chest and then white shoulders.
From the shoulder pads down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. White shoulder pads, grey down. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be white shoulder pads with the colour.
So do you think it would be a more subtle version of the team colour, a washed out version of the team colour going down the chest? So let's say the Giants, it's a white shoulders with a very, very pale teal for the away jersey. And then I would assume for the home jersey then, that stays as a white shoulders and what seems to be a very slightly different colour on the arms. But then the sort of heavy and quite dark home colour, so a dark teal, say, for the Giants on the front and back. Is that what we'd kind of expect?
Yeah. Or for the home one, having black maybe is the shoulder.
That's an interesting thought, to be fair. I think, and as Mark has said, imagine this with the Giants logo and colours, it would be great. It's not. It would actually look well.
Yeah.
Anthony's expecting that this is the uniform that the servers at Hooters will be wearing for playoff final weekend. Restaurant that I think somehow everyone who goes to playoffs manages to get at least one meal in over playoff final weekend.
So it's like 7,000-10,000 people descend on Hooters.
it's the place to be at playoffs. It's the place to be. Guys, that just about does it for the jersey. In fact, it does do it for the jerseys because we've got no others to talk about. Guys, we also have nothing else in the podcast. That is us. I think initially I'd planned to chat to you about sort of your playoff positioning and who you thought things would go, but it was more natural to sort of go into it when we talked through the intro. So that's where we are. Guys, it's been a pleasure working with you as your stand-in host. Folks, if you like what you've watched or like what you've heard through this podcast, remember that you can catch us on all of our social media. Everything is at Door14Hockey, whether that is X, Facebook, Instagram. You can also get us on TikTok. I put the occasional thing out, threw some stuff up there this week as well.
Dancing's getting better, by the way.
It is. I can almost floss. I think I'm only about 4 years behind with that. You can catch all of our previous episodes through your favourite podcast provider. You can catch all of our previous video episodes on YouTube. You can also find our previous 14 with 14 interviews and 14 with 15 interviews over on YouTube as well. And do drop us a like, hit follow, hit the little bell to get notifications every time we drop something new. Drop us a comment. We love that interaction. Massive thank you to everyone who's been in the comments as we've gone through the podcast today. And guys, with that, I'm going to wrap things up. So I've been John.
I'm Dave.
I'm Aaron.
Have a great week, everyone.